Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator. Learn about the unique and voted happiest country in the world. The tax-friendly nation of Vanuatu to the bustling southern business hub city down under, Sydney, Australia. From Fiji Islands to the mining states of the western Australasian township of Perth. From the tropical North Australian state Queensland, its capital Brisbane, called the Sunshine State of Australia, to the remote and beautiful Cook Islands nestled in the wondrous island chains of the Pacific Islands. Richard Butler, with over 35 years experience in the real estate business as a developer of residential and resort properties with opportunities in export, from timber to wine from the world-famous vineyards down under, will educate and open your perspective on his part of the world in the South Pacific. Blue skies, azure blue waters, no pollution, fantastic weather. Richard Butler is also the preeminent authority on all things from Vanuatu, where he is appointed trade commissioner for the Republic of Vanuatu. Get ready for an hour of interesting interviews with people down under who can do remarkable things, and updates weekly on what is happening in and around the magnificent world of the South Pacific.
Good night. Good morning.
Good evening.
Good afternoon. Great day. This is Brian, and that means it's time for another edition of Lifestyles in Real Estate of the South Pacific. Glad to be with you today, and we are all over. We normally are. Studio producer Corey Coates in beautiful Costa Rica. I'm enjoying the sunshine here in Massachusetts, USA, looking out over Buzzards Bay. And, of course, Richard Butler will be joining us soon. He is in Sydney, Australia, looking at the Pacific easterly. I always love that. He's looking east. I'm looking south. Corey's looking west. We're looking all over the world for you. And, of course, as you know, Escape Artist is going to be the new owner of Overseas Radio Network. What does that mean for you? What does it mean? What does it mean? It means new programming, more programming coming your way right here on the Overseas Radio Network, including the revamped Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. Today, a couple of guests joining us from Australia. Ian is going to be coming back with us. We haven't talked to him in a little bit, but Ian Adams will be joining us. Also, Dave Watkins, who is with Ray White Real Estate in Sydney, Australia. Both joining us today, talking real estate on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
Would you like $800 per day rental from your investment property?
Well, in booming Vanuatu in the South Pacific, we have fully absolute waterfront furnished beachfront three-bedroom bungalows that you can buy from only $399K. And yes, $800 per day rental return.
And from only $399K, full price.
Finance is available up to 100%.
If you have sufficient home equity, conditions apply, and it will pay itself off.
On 65% occupancy, and you can use it for a month
or a year.
And you can use it as a holiday home as well.
Contact Richard now
at 617-00-7792. 417-00-7792.
That's 417-00-7792. Call now.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And welcome back to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. I'm Brian Thomas. Joining us today, our co-producer and sponsor of the program, the one, the only Richard Butler, who is sitting back enjoying his new microphone and headset in wonderful Sydney, Australia, where I guess the air is a little crisp. Today, tonight, this morning, whatever time it is for you, Richard.
Yes, well, good morning, Brian. And we've had a little bit of rain here in Sydney in the last two or three days, and it was welcome rain as well. I've just come back from being in Vanuatu for 5 or 6 days, where it was just glorious weather with you know, slacks, shorts, and light slacks, and sandals, and open neck shirts, and I've come back to jumper or cardigans and thick wearing gear back in Sydney. We are in a winter, and we've had a bit of a cold snap here. But I'm actually talking to you from Sydney, Australia, and I live in a place called a district, which is called the Shire. And the Shire is to the south of Sydney, and it's along the beaches. We've got a famous beach called Cronulla Beach here, and we've got a waterway system. And we're going to be talking to Dave Watkins, who I've asked to come on. He's representative of Ray White Real Estate, which is a national firm in Australia. I've bought quite a few developments through Ray White in Queensland over the years as well. And then, of course, we've got Ian Adams coming on, who is a town planner. And so along with these two fellas, we should be able to get a good idea of the rundown of what's happening from these unbelievable figures which keep continuing here. Auction rates across the country average 68.4% clearance, 82% clearance in Sydney of the auctions. 899,000 was the medium price last week. Melbourne's up to 75% clearance. Melbourne's was just voted for the fourth time in a row the most livable city in the world. We're going to have to get some real estate agents and some people from Melbourne on the show to let you know all about them.
Since you brought up Melbourne, and you very rarely talk about it, where is Melbourne situated compared to where Sydney is and Brisbane? Is it south? Is it north? Is it closer to the equator? Is it closer to Antarctica? Where is it?
Well, basically, if you look at the map of Australia and you see this long coastline coming from the point up the top end there, you've got Cairns and Townsville, Brisbane, coming on down to Sydney about two-thirds down, and Melbourne is down the bottom near the island of Tasmania. And Melbourne is, it's a very old traditional city. Was, a lot of money went into Melbourne from the from United Kingdom or England. A lot of money was invested in Melbourne. It's a real money town. And we still have trams clicking along the roads like you have in San Francisco. We've got the trams system still alive and well and used every day by many, many Melbournians. But so the real estate in Australia is absolutely booming. And one of the reasons is that we've had 313,000 migrants come into Australia in the year 2013.
Wow.
That's just been released.
It is.
So that's unbelievable.
And as we continue, we have Dave Watkins joining us, Ian Adams also, Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Sustainable timber investment from the Republic of Vanuatu. Once in a lifetime, an investment offer comes along that if you don't jump on board, you'll be saying, I could have. Yes, you could have bought Apple shares. You could have invested in Google. You could have bought gold 3 years ago. But did you? Well, listen closely. This is one of those light bulb moments in your life where you have to act today. 35 years ago, timber plantations were planted in the Republic of Vanuatu in the South Pacific, an island nation. And now they are ready for harvesting. Not just any timber, it was introduced as a sustainable timber called cordia, selling in the USA for up to $7,600 per cubic meter. 1 cubic meter is 432 board feet. Cordia is not native rainforest timber. It's from the plantation and used for flooring, decking, architraves, fit outs for sailing boats, and for our wood turners. It's a wonderful wood. A hard wood, but very light. The builders love to work with it. And we all know how costly wood is these days. Sustainable Timber, A-classed licensed timber company in Vanuatu, has just released shares in the investment. Approved by the stringent Vanuatu Investment Promotion Authority, called VIPA for short, at $55,000 per share. There are only 20 on offer and projected returns on over 20% per annum. Plus, the investment will provide you with if you require residency in Vanuatu as an international investor, if you require to escape from this Western world madness and experience paradise as your new home address. It's not mandatory, but available with the investment. So again, Sustainable Timber, a Class A timber company in the Republic of Vanuatu, an investment opportunity at only $55,000, returns projected at over 20% per annum, and residency as well if you require it. The timber has grown, it's ready for harvest now, profits are months away, not years. Contact Richard Butler now for the offer to be emailed to you. Call Richard on country code 61417007792 or email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com. Don't delay. There are only 20 shares offered. Call him, country code 61417007792. Or if you're in Australia local, call 0417007792. Call him now. It's a light bulb moment, listeners. Act today. And as Richard says, decision makers are profit makers.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Lifestyles and real estate of the South Pacific, right here on the Overseas Radio Network, where Ian Adams is going to join us in just a little bit on the program. But before that, you know, in the States, especially in New England, where I live, the word S-H-I-R-E, if you put an S on the end, is pronounced Shears. But other places, there's a different name to it, like Shire. Our co-host, Richard Butler, is a Shire-type person. And our guest, Dave Watkins, is also a Shire. In fact, he does real estate in the Shires, and he lives in the Shires. And he's going to talk to us about lifestyle and real estate in the Shires. Dave, welcome to Lifestyles and Real Estate.
Hello. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Yourself?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start with the fact that you live in the Shires. What prompted you to decide to move to that part of Sydney, Australia, and to work in that area?
Look, the Summerland Shire is a very family-orientated area south of Sydney, of the CBD, about 40 minutes from the CBD. There's beautiful beaches nearby, lots of water surrounding us. It's just a really laid back part of Sydney. A good place, you know, to bring up kids, and lots of open space, and you know, bushland, and it's just a really, really nice laid back area, just sounds out of the city.
I
missed that.
I said you sound like a laid back person too. And when we think of people that are involved in real estate, sales, investing, and whatnot, we don't necessarily think of them as laid back folks. How do you get your personality to mix well with what you do?
Well, I'm actually located in Sylvania Waters. We've got an office in the suburb of Sylvania Waters, which is a really, really unique suburb. In fact, it's so unique. There's nothing like it in the whole of Australia. We have a mixture, a wide demographic of buyer. We deal a lot with Asians, and of course other nationalities, and then of course the local Australian people. Everyone seems to be quite laid back down here. It's a little bit cruisier, in the south, I feel. We're a little bit out of the busy hustle bustle of the city areas and those inner city suburbs. So, I feel that type of approach with people works well in our area. Did you want to know a little bit more about our suburb, Sylvania Waters, and why it's so unique?
Yeah, we'd love to hear that. I live in the Shire, and I don't live very far from where Dave offices. In fact, I drive past it quite often on my way to go and do some work or visit some people in the Shire. But yes, it's an unusually a great story behind Sylvania Waters. Please share it with us, Dave. That'd be great for the people to hear about.
Great. Yeah, it was actually, I think it's a bit over 40 years ago, the developer that purchased the land got his idea from Florida Keys, I believe, where they had the man-made waterway canals set up. He brought the idea here. It was the first in the country. But the absolute uniqueness about it as of today is it's the only waterfront suburb where the residents are part owner of the seabed, and there's no ongoing fees paid to the Department of Lands to utilise your waterfront or mooring facilities, which is obviously anywhere else you buy on the water, that's the situation. You require the permissive occupancy fees. So it's just extremely unique. Even in Queensland, and the canal waterways up there, I believe the developer is the owner of the seabed or still pays the royalties. So there's ongoing mooring fees, but in Sylvania Waters, you basically moor your boat for free. You become a shareholder, a part owner of the seabed. You're allocated a share. There is a small fee when you buy the property, and you've just got 100% mooring facility access 24/7, and it's the only place really where you're illegally allowed to leave a boat at your back doorstep. So the uniqueness to people wanting to obviously be boating people, I should say, it's just unquestionable value. You know, it can cost anywhere between $200 and $1,000 a month to moor a boat at a marina, whereas here you've got a marina at your back doorstep.
Well, one of the things in Sydney as well, if you were to, I mean, I know there was one recently, a mooring sold in Mossman for over $1 million. And the guy turned up and put a small boat on it, and everybody came down and said, what's the matter? Can't you afford to buy a boat? And he said, no, I could afford to buy the mooring. I could afford to buy that. That was $1 million, and I'll sell it again in about 10 years for $2 million. This is an investment. Yep. That's what I bought. Yes. I didn't buy it for the boat. The boat was just a secondary consideration. And what Sylvania Waters is, it is completely developed now, isn't it? So really what's happening down there is resales and people coming along and seeing the only canal type development in Sydney. And of course, obviously, anything that's on the water, you can add a certain percentage on top of what the land value is. And so, I mean, what would the cheapest house be in Sylvania Waters at the moment, Dave?
I still think Sylvania Waters is grossly undervalued, to be honest, Richard. You can get in on the waterfront for around the 1.5 mark, 1.5. That's probably your entry level. We still haven't pushed the $5 million mark for the top-end sales. But when you look at the rest of Sydney and what the sale prices are going for non-waterfront property, even outside, within the eastern suburbs and around, there's just no comparison. I mean, it's still very affordable to get into Sylvania Waters. You can jump in at 1.5, 2 mil, two, early twos, mid twos, threes, will get you something very special. The high-end sales are really only pressing the 3.5 to 4 mil range for your full open waterfront, deep waterfront, open views, large parcel of land. So I think there's a huge amount of growth in the near future.
The listeners who don't know the area, I mean, you're only on a good run with traffic, you're probably only no more than 25 minutes away from the international airport. You're only 35 minutes drive into the centre of the CBD. If there's no traffic running, you could probably knock it off in about 25. And then, of course, yep. you're only, you know, you put your you walk out your back door and there's your boat, and you can turtle off up the river or out into the ocean and go fishing for that for those marvelous deep water fishing, or turtle around to Sydney Harbour and come into Sydney Harbour as well. So really, it's a boatman's paradise, isn't it?
It's a boatie's paradise. It's just so close to everything. I mean, you can even fish on your back doorstep, you know, for people who like fishing. You don't even have to go out on the, you know, on your boat. So, you know, water sports, that lifestyle, it's just an unquestionable lifestyle. And the ease of access to the water, it's incredible. You know, you just walk out your back door, jump in your boat, off you go. Within, you know, seconds and minutes, you're out. And you want to come back within seconds and minutes, you're back, and you jump in your car and off you go. Until you experience it, it's hard to explain. Yeah, how easy it all is. And
the future of Sylvania Waters, now being an older suburb, is I would have to put forward would more than likely be a tremendous amount of redevelopment happening, with the older houses being upgraded. And that's, is there correct, any opportunity for amalgamation of the sites for units or anything like that? Could that be done in the future?
No, not at all. They did a pretty good thing. They wanted to keep the area quite not non-built up in a way. They wanted to keep it exclusive. So there are restrictive covenants in line with only one dwelling on each part of land. So it's, I guess, from a development point of view, it's not good for developers, but it keeps the area very tight and not highly built up, and I guess in a matter of speaking, non-prostituted. You know,
yes.
It's just yeah. It's very very. It was. It's a good covenant, I feel, in keeping it. You know, in just single residential lots, one dwelling per lot.
Coming back to the Sutherland Shire, you look after other properties as well. You're not just totally centric to Sylvania Waters, are you? You're looking at after other properties close by, and some of the suburbs which are around Sylvania Waters, such as Tarrant Point and Miranda, which is the big shopping centre, big Westfield shopping centre at Miranda, which is another lovely waterfront property. We're very lucky in Sydney, aren't we? When you go to other parts of the world and you look at their waterfront development, excluding places like, you know, Florida, et cetera, but even, you know, recently I've been in Dubai over the last 10 or 12 years, and they're going the same way, trying to make the most of their coastline. We've already achieved that in Sydney. I mean, there really isn't many other places, or in fact, we wouldn't be allowed to do another canal development in New South Wales, I don't think. So really, it's a very, you know, you've got a great future where you are with property values. What do you think about the property values at the moment in Sydney? Dave, I've been, you know, informing people about the unbelievable increases and how we've recovered and from the GFC, or the Lehman Brothers crisis, as they know it. Where do you see that going?
With property prices, I think.
Dave, I want you to think about that question. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Dave Watkins.
No problems.
Waters talking to us about real estate in New South Wales, Sydney, Australia, right here on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Australian Wine Exports Limited was first registered in 1974. Current export license number 99, and has access to all of Australia's famous growing vineyards. As examples from the world-famous Barossa, South Australia, the Hunter Valley of New South Wales, the Margaret River of Western Australia, and the Yarra Valley of the southern state of Victoria, and lastly, the magic of the Burnett in northern Queensland. Places you might never heard of, but you might have seen the Australian labels in your neighborhood stores, like Yellowtail, And we must tell you the current release of Australia's Penfolds Grange sells up to $600 a bottle. Wow, there is money in wine. Australian Wine Exports Limited has decided to expand to the States, and the directors are looking for interested investors for a joint venture in exporting Australian wine into the USA, United Kingdom, and lastly, China. What a market that would be. The wine regions in each of these Australian states produce different wine varieties and styles that take advantage of the particular terroir, such as climatic differences, topography, and soil types, with the major varieties being predominantly Shiraz, Cabernet, Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Merlot, Semillon, Pinot Noir, Riesling, and Sauvignon Blanc. The company has been waiting for the Australian dollar to retreat in parity to the American dollar, as they now see the opportunity to advertise for interested investors and start exporting containers to selected countries. This is a boutique company that can avail themselves of assistance from the Australian export arm, Austrade, as well, but wishes on the ground interested investors in the States. So call Richard Butler on 61-417-007792. That's country code 61, then 417-007-792. Or email him for information at richardbutlersales@gmail.com. This is another amazing offer from Down Under worth considering. As Richard says, decision makers are profit takers. Where does he get these remarkable offers from?
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
Back here on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific, Dave Watkins. What a great guest. And Dave, as we proceed, what I'd like to do right now is get some vital statistics from you, like your website and maybe a phone number in case somebody wants to catch up with you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So our business is Ray White, Sylvania Waters. Our website is really easy. It's just the suburb, www.sylvaniawaters.com.au. You can contact me by email, dave.watkins@raywhite.com. And our contact number is 02-9544-9688.
Why don't you say that again? That just for folks that might be writing. Go ahead, try it again.
Sorry, I missed that.
Wait, go ahead and do
number.
One more time, please.
Our phone number, sorry, 02-9544-9688.
As we were
mobile, 0414-866-888.
Fair enough. As we were going into the break, Richard asked you a question dealing with where you see the real estate on the horizon. So why don't we follow up with that?
Yeah, great. Look, I think there's, well, for Sylvania Waters in particular, I think there's still a large margin for growth on the high end. When I say high end for the waterfront stock, I think there's still a lot of room for movement. So I can see prices going up possibly 10 to 20% over the next couple of years on the waterfronts. We're getting a lot of overseas buyers buying into the area, not just new stock, but obviously the second-hand properties for the ones that have immigrated. And most of our high-end buyers are Asian, not all of them. But so I can see there's going to be a lot more sales and a push in the market prices at that level. The low-end stock has really moved a lot in our marketplace and all up in the whole of the Sutherland Shire. It's just such a huge buyer pool at the moment of buyers looking between the 600,000 to 1.1, 1.2. So I think that market has really moved. You'll probably see that stabilize a little bit, even though there is a large buyer pool. But I just see people upgrading now that have got their good sale there at that level, and now they're the upgraders coming into the water, the middle to higher end of the market. So I see a progression of that, you know, the massive prices that have been achieved in that low end sector moving through into the middle range to high end sector So I still think over the next couple of years, there'll be that growth will sort of snowball through into the upper end of the market. So that's my spin on what I see.
Well, Dave, look, thanks for that. And what a lot, I'd like to add something there. When you're talking about your prices, people listening might think, oh, that sounds expensive. But, you know, to go around the Sydney Harbour, true Sydney Harbour, and get a waterfront house, you know, Rose Bay, or, I mean, these are the better suburbs for sure, but Rose Bay, or even a water view house at the back of those areas, I mean, you're talking $5 million plus, you're talking $15 million for some of the properties that's on the water. So, you know, what actually happens is, you know, it's an old saying that, you know, water does find its own level, and of course, money does the same thing as well. And if you're perceived to be a good value in the market, then obviously you're going to get lots of sales. And I agree with Dave. I feel that the Sylvania Waters is it's a unique market, and it's sort of designed for the person that really doesn't want that hustle or bustle and living around shouldered in by large homes or blocks of units alongside each other. So, yeah, you should have a look at Sylvania Waters, and it's a pretty place. If you have a look at an aerial photograph of the area, it's actually fantastic. But one thing we didn't touch on, of course, is the famous reality show Sylvania Waters, which was one of the first reality shows that we had in Australia. And we have to tell people about that. It was Laurie and Nolene, I think it was, at number 48, the Crescent or something or other, and they
had this.
And that was one of the biggest shows in Australia, showing the lifestyle of how Australians live. And are they still in the area, or what happened to them?
Yeah, I believe they moved up north, but I believe Laurie's still got a business in Tarrant Point. So, they're still around.
Yeah, for those who don't know about it or from overseas, this was the first lifestyle show, reality show, and they came in and they had this family living on the beautiful home with the beautiful boat, and they tabled their lifestyle for about 3 months on national television, and boy, we were all glued to it. Like we had to watch it, run home to watch the Sylvania Waters show at night, and it was the first real insight into how the family were living, and saw how the sons and brothers and cousins and all the family problems that you have. We then found out that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you've got a waterfront home or a block of land in the back of Bourke, you know, when there's families involved, they're not easy to run.
Yeah.
So, look. Well, thanks for coming on, Dave.
Sorry, Richard, one more quick thing. Just regarding Sylvania Waters, there's a website, which is the company website. So it's the company that owns the seabed that you become part owner of if you get a share in the company. That, for more information, if you really want to look into the whole scenario, visit www.sylvaniawaters.com. So where our office is .com.au, you just go to .com, and there's a fantastic website set up with videos, instructional videos, that you really should jump on and have a look at.
Okay, well, we'll certainly look that up. And Dave, thanks for coming on the show. We look forward to talking to you another time. And say hello to John for me as well, won't you? We were going to have John on today, but he gave it to the boss. So all the best, Dave. Thanks a lot.
No worries. Bye-bye. Thanks again, Richard. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Talk to you.
Well, there we are. That's one of the first local principals of a real estate company in Sydney, Australia, or in Australia, that we're going to be talking to over the next weeks. And we've decided that we will reach out and try and talk to a local real estate principal in these different areas, such as Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, which is where Melbourne is, so people can get a better idea of what's happening in the real estate market down here, and also the lifestyle. And did you notice, Brian, that the first thing Dave was talking about was the beaches and the lifestyle and the families? And this is one of the reasons why Australia is so popular, is that it is such a relaxed lifestyle down here. I mean, we have problems, as like every city, big city does. You know, 4 or 5 million people here now, but you can quite easily live in this city and come home on a Friday night, and between Friday night and Monday morning, just have a wonderful time, either at the beach or sporting venues or fishing, as he was talking about. I mean, the lifestyle in Australia and the South Pacific is very, very relaxed. When are you coming down, Brian?
Well, that's
great, the question.
When it's winter time for me, sounds like it's the best time to go there. And yes, I did understand that. In fact, what I seemingly hear time and time again, whether we're talking Brisbane or Sydney, we really haven't talked about any of the other areas, is the fact that people are just so close to the ocean. And then, of course, you're a continent that is an island. And so everybody wants to migrate toward that area. But what also hits me is something that we talked about last week, the week before, and and Dave probably highlighted it even more today. The folks that are coming that are going to buy in Sylvania Waters are high net worth people. They're coming from Asia and other parts of the globe. And it makes me wonder how many people in the Sydney backyard, if they wanted to do so, could afford Sylvania Waters and some of the other areas. These are some of the things that really intrigue me. And also, as a real estate investor, do I want to put down $1 million or $2 million, or look at some other place where I could spend the same amount of money and get 3 or 4 properties? These are things that hit my mind, and I know hit a lot of the brains of the people that I matriculate with.
Well, that's a very relative story, and you're right. We're trying to cover all these different places, we're trying to cover all these different areas and give people a bit of a scope. But look, Sylvania Waters, I started there because it was right on the waterfront. I've got a history of being involved in waterfront land and canal development. But I've also got a history of doing small subdivisions in rural areas as well. And we will cover a rural area or a lower cost district over the next couple of weeks, get an agent. We might do something in Queensland. But property values in Australia are quite high. And if you've made your money in real estate, well, you know, it compounds and compiles. So what actually happens, if you'd bought a property, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you might have paid $12,000, $15,000 to Australia. That property, you know, might have been $30,000 today, and that property might be $300,000, $400,000, or in Sydney it could be $600,000, $700,000. So people are basically utilizing, you know, their equity in their property and either moving up or basically buying investment properties, which is it's a national pastime down here in Australia. You know, it's we often say rugby, real estate, and two of the major drivers of our weekends. Look at the rugby and look at the real estate pages.
Let's look at Ian Adams when we come back. Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
If you're concerned about leaving your financial fate in the hands of cash-strapped governments, or if you're alarmed by the plethora of new laws, taxes, and regulations that have recently passed, or in the works that pose a real threat to your future's prosperity, or perhaps you simply just want to know the options you have to live, work, play, retire, and investing anywhere in the world. My name is Domingo Silva, CEO of EscapeArts.com, the premier trusted authority on international living for the past 19 years. If you're looking for a way to make life-changing decisions without spending a large chunk of your money and time to start your own research, then look no further than the Escape Artist Passport Program. This is a membership program that gives you access to information that you're seeking and the connections to the experts that can provide you the information. And the best part, you can begin right away to implement these practical and easy strategies without ever leaving your home. Learn more by going to overseasradio.com and click on the passport banner. You'll be glad you did.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. Richard Butler is with us. If you'd like to contact Richard, you can do so a couple of ways. One way is directly by email, richardbutlersales@gmail.com. richardbutlersales@gmail.com. That's one way. Another way is to go through one of his websites, which is pacifichavenresort.com. pacifichavenresort.com. And as we continue here on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific, a person I've had the pleasure of speaking to a couple of times, but we're welcoming here to this new horizon, to this new breed of Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. He is a town developer in Queensland, Australia, and a damn good one at that. So please welcome Ian Adams to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. Ian, what's up, man?
Hi, I'm Brian. Thanks for the introduction. It's warm. It's good to talk to you again.
Great.
It's lovely here at the moment in Brisbane, and we're looking forward to the G20 summits in November. So there's a lot of activity currently happening in the city. Preparing for that, a lot of existing establishments and hotels are sprucing up and adding extensions. So we've had a busy time the last 6 months with some of those extensions to hotels and restaurants getting ready for the G20. So, yeah, it's exciting times here in Brisbane.
Well, good morning, Ian, and thanks for coming on for the show. And for those who don't know where Brisbane is, it's basically the capital of the state of Queensland. And Queensland is the top end of the east coast of Australia. It's a massive state. You could probably fit Texas in it about 2.5 times. That's how big it is. And we call it our Sunshine State. And Ian has been a friend and an associate of mine for a long time, as he's a town planner, and he's one of the guys that takes the rules and regulations and make them work for property developers and gets friends through the courts. And, of course, Brisbane is a place that I lived for a long time, and my children are still living up there. And I love Brisbane, and I know Ian does, but it's a very modern town, Brisbane, isn't it, Ian? It would have to be the most modern town in Australia, probably maybe Perth as well, but I don't know which one would knock the other one off as far as the most modern. Yeah. We've got a bigger population in Brisbane.
Yeah, we do. It's certainly got a very modern feel to it. So with the high rises in the CBD, there's a lot of the glass and steel construction, and certainly there's an emphasis on that. And it's ever changing. There's a lot of development. It's growing quite rapidly. So there's a lot of, you know, if you're away for a year, you come back, and there's a lot of, you know, there's new buildings that have popped up, and a lot of them are cutting-edge architecture, so it does definitely have that feel of a very modern, vibrant city, which goes along with, as you said, the climate. It's a subtropical climate, so it's it blends the two together.
I still remember the first time I visited Brisbane, and I was flown in from New Zealand for a conference on the Gold Coast. And I quite often talk about that visit, but I always remember the first, arriving in Brisbane and the climate, and it's so welcoming. And then, of course, we saw the beautiful beaches of the Gold Coast, and to the south of Brisbane, and of course to the north is the Sunshine Coast beaches, which are both areas that were discovered in the in the 90s by the rest of the world. And we've got this G20 conference coming, but we've also got the Commonwealth Games coming to the Gold Coast in a couple of years' time as well, 3 years' time now. And the G20 is the heads of the world coming down here, which we're – so, you know, really we are – the city has grown up, hasn't it? You know, it's a city that is expanding, you know. And that's one of the reasons we talk about the ripple effect too, that we've just been talking to Dave from – Dave Watkins from Ray White Real Estate in Sylvania, the canal development. And, you know, he's talking about prices of – you know, one million plus for a property, up to 5 million plus for a property. What's the average prices at the moment in a house and land package in a new suburb in Brisbane? Would it be around the 430,000, somewhere in that sort of line, Ian?
That would be the far edge of the city, I would imagine, which is, you know, the 20k kilometer. It's more the market that was typically hot was the 500,000 in that first 5 kilometer radius from the CBD. You know, the price of a typical house now is close to $1 million, so it's quite expensive in that inner city ring, and that's what's driving the unit market to go into that area, because people's affordability. Then you've got that next 5 to 15 kilometer radius. And again, it varies somewhat, but that I would imagine it's generally from 400 up to 700, 800, and beyond that, you then look at some of those house and land packages that you mentioned, where they're in the 350, 400 price bracket. So, there is quite a strong demand for the property market. It is for units. It's almost seems to be red hot at the moment. There's a lot of activity happening with people looking at sites and units. As I've previously mentioned to you, part of that stimulus has been there's a new Brisbane City plan that's come into place, and that's also trying to encourage further unit development, which is a good thing. The prices do vary from the different regions up on the Sunshine Coast and Gold Coast, down the Gold Coast, which I mentioned too. There is some very expensive pockets in those areas too. So,
These prices are a reflection of people working, isn't it? Really, when Brian often says to me, you know, and I've often said, I can't believe these prices, but they are a reflection of people migrating or being born in Australia and inheriting their mum or dad's house or business, and they really are a reflection of people working hard and the returns that they've received being invested in property. And you know, the share market is volatile. You know, we've just seen what it did in 2008, 2009. And, you know, the great thing about property values is, or property, investing in property, once you have a piece of property, you know, you've got it for as long as you want it. No one's going to come along and steal it. They can't back a truck up and take it away. It's your property. If you're living in it, you're not paying rent. And, of course, we all know that rent is dead money. And, of course, property values are increasing. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why people want to migrate to Australia. One of our local politicians said the other day that if you were born in Australia, you won the lottery, because you were born into a country that doesn't have any problems with wars on its borders. You know, Australia has been described as a quarry with a water view, because we have so much underground wealth in iron ore and coal. That the rest of the world wants and does and will keep paying for, and that provides lots of. We had a mining boom; people were working in the mines, earning good jobs, earning up to $120,000 a year to drive a coal truck. If you're an electrician, you could have been earning over $200,000 a year. And so, what do you do with your money? You invest it, and of course, the pressures are on our cities now while they're expanding. And there's new laws come into, or new rules come in for expansion in Brisbane. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. As you see, the regulations is pretty much governed by the Brisbane City Plan that commenced on 1st July. They've previously was a long-winded process, often with developments, with requiring a public submission period where people could object to and also could appeal the decision to the courts, which provide a lot of uncertainty to developers wishing to undertake a development or undertake a unit project. So with the new scheme, it's reduced the number of developments that trigger what's known as the impact assessment and code assessment. So it gives people a lot more certainty. The way they calculate density has changed, which is in fact encouraging development to go up. So looking for more 2- and 3-story developments for units in the designated areas. Previously it was just 2 stories. There's also, in particular, local plans. There's now a number of medium density sites up to 5 stories. So it's definitely trying to increase density in the nodes along major transport corridors. The other key consideration that's coming also is the subdivision requirements of reducing the minimum lot size. So previously it was 400. Now in some of the low to medium residential areas, it's down to 260 square metres or even, 180 square metres. So there's certainly, a lot of scope that previously wasn't there last year. So that's exciting news for Brisbane.
Well, one of the things that you do, Ian, is that, you know, if people have a piece of property that they're listening to the show and they're in the Brisbane area and they want to think about being a developer or having a developer, they can contact you and talk to you about the possibilities of the property. And also, of course, if they're looking for a joint venture partner, they can contact you and you have access to other developers who would be interested in maybe buying their property. So we should really just give your contact details here before we go any further. Could you give us your phone number and your email address, Ian?
Yeah, sure. Our number here is Brisbane. It's 07, and it's 3257-7833. The business is The Planning Place. So it's www.theplanningplace.com.au. We've been established now for 12 years. We're WIS Smart and Seal Smart accredited with Brisbane City Council, so that's the low-risk applications we can fast-track through council, which is a great time-saving and cost-saving measure for developers. We do developments Queensland-wide, but also we're doing a little bit also in New South Wales, Tweed Shire. So
Maybe we'll come back in a second, Ian, and talk about Vanuatu as well with you and let the people hear.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we'll come right back after this break. We've got to sell some ads, and we'll talk to you shortly about your investment in Vanuatu as well. Thanks, Ian.
Okay. Thanks, Richard.
This is Lifestyles in Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Are you looking for your next retirement destination, just not sure where? What benefits do you have or don't you by living abroad? Is the international real estate market safe? My name is Domingo Silva, CEO of Escape Artist, the premier authority on international living, and we're having our first annual conference in Orlando, Florida, October 10th to the 12th. Come and get the answers you've been looking for and so much more. For more information, go to overseasradio.com and click on the conference banner. See you there.
From the Swiss Alps to the sunny shores of Aruba, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
Final segment of our program today on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. Our guest is Ian Adams. Not only is he a town planner developer in Queensland, Australia, but he also is an investor in that tiny chain of islands we affectionately call Vanuatu. Richard?
Yes, well, Ian, if I can give him a bit of recommendation, he's worked with me when I was doing property developments in Kingaroy in Queensland, and I can't, to be very frank, I can't recommend him highly enough. He's one of those guys that's a can-do and does do and gets out and makes sure it happens for you when you're involved with him in a business arrangement. But I invited him to have a look at a friend of mine had some property for sale, and I invited him to have a look at it. And he put a little syndicate together, and they flew over to Espirito Santo Island, which is part of Vanuatu. It's the largest island in the Vanuatu chain, and we showed Ian the property at Palakula Beach, which is where James Michener, the famous writer of the Tales of the South Pacific and the ongoing show South Pacific, which was a movie and a Broadway show, was stationed during the war. Over 500 Americans were there. And so anyway, there was a ship that sunk called the SS President Coolidge that Tim Ritchie was talking about last week, and we had the availability of showing Ian and the group some property adjoining, or not far, maybe 1,000 metres from the wreck. And Ian is part of leads the Palakula Beach project, which is going to be a dive resort. It's an exciting time for us now that we're not relaunching it, but we're ready to launch the marketing of it. Ian, we've been treading water for a while, but the time's got better for us as well for this type of investment, hasn't it?
Certainly has. No, it is very exciting times, and it's, we've done a lot of legwork to get where we are. We've given you various approvals and through with environmental and the government, and ready to move on to the next phase. So it is very exciting. It's a beautiful spot. There's a lot of good news happening for Vanuatu, a lot of investment happening, international investment happening, and we're seeing to be in the box seat there. So it's a beautiful spot, and we'll certainly take advantage of being the closest resort to those dive sites at Santo, which is world famous, and it will become one of the future South Pacific resorts.
Well, we have a niche market as well, being involved in scuba diving, and these bungalows will sell from absolute waterfront ones from about $299,000, and the three-bedroom, two-stories one from about $400,000 to $500,000. But we will also have, well, the development is designed to have a scuba diving angle, a scuba diving training center actually included in the actual resort. Tim and Yvonne Ritchie have come on board with us, and they'll be managing and running the actual scuba diving part of the development. So we do expect people to be looking at this project from around the world. But look, I just want to ask you one question, Ian. What is the thing that impressed you the most about Vanuatu when you went there to inspect, or when you've been to Vanuatu with me, meeting people in the council?
Yeah, I think firstly, people are very friendly. I think, as you said, it's an untapped resource. There appears a lot of opportunity. They are fast coming into the first world with the telecommunications and major the linkages, very close to Australia, in particular Brisbane and Queensland for travel times. It's very laid back and peaceful sort of place. So it's very relaxing for a holiday, which it's sometimes we've lost a little bit on the East Coast to try and find a similar sort of enjoyment. But yeah, those are the main things that sort of struck me, that there is.
So it's a jewel of the Pacific. That's what you're trying to say, Ian. So it's a jewel of the Pacific. That's what you're trying to say.
I think it is. Definitely.
Look, thanks for coming on the show. We're running out of time, and we look forward to talking to Ian again in the near future. Brian, that's almost the end of the show, isn't it? Have we got any time left to talk?
Ian, thank you so much for joining us today. Also, thanks Dave Watkins, who joined us earlier, Richard, Corey. I'm Brian. This is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
The This podcast was produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.